It's real simple. I want you to take a moment. And I want you to look each other in the eyes. I want you to put each other in your hearts forever. Because forever is about to happen here in just a few minutes.
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Kim Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Well, look at you.
All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, Hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Play was powerful. This is a no-win situation.
Kirkland, and I'm on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson, and I do want to have his baby.
Good morning, everybody. It's Brian Hammer Jackson. It's Monday, September 30th. It's a Monday. Is that yours, Kelly? Is that the sirens?
Yeah, that was Kelly.
Oh, jeez. No, but she's new. Oh, okay. Yeah, at this time. Kelly Corbin is in Kansas, and every Monday they have the sirens to let people, just to test the sirens, to let people know that if there's a tornado coming or something like that. So when that passes, she'll come back on. Good morning, everybody. We changed the title to our show, Killing Jesus. So far, we got a lot of reaction about that. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the facts and the fiction of Jesus. You're going to hear Bill O'Reilly. This is the name of his book, Killing Jesus. And you're going to hear some of the things, what he believes about the crucifixion and Jesus Christ. His book is almost the number one bestseller, if it's not the number one bestseller. So people are buying this book. So you're going to hear some sound bites about what he believes, who was Jesus Christ. Then we're going to talk about how well we know Jesus. Again, we have no pre-interview on our show. So a lot of people like Jeff, and Jeff is taking care of, he's our board producer today, everybody, Jeff Bertrand. Thank you so much, Jeff, for being a board producer today. Diane's on assignment. But Jeff, Carrie,
yes,
who will be in soon. Uh-huh.
I'm
and
here.
Kelly, oh, I'm good. We're all going to take a test. It's a quiz and see how well we know Jesus. And let's see who passed, and let's see who's a sinner going to burn in hell forever. So we're going to do that pretty soon. And, of course, we
can
have our
I
box
just,
office. Uh-huh.
Brian, can
yes.
I just qualify myself since I was an altered boy?
No, you're perfect for this.
Damn it all.
So sorry, I got a tickle in my throat. But we're going to take that quiz. And so when we take that quiz, maybe if you're listening to the show, you can also take the quiz and you can find out how much do you really know Jesus, the true facts. So we're going to get on with our show, and then Carrie has her box office picks and celebrity gossip and stuff like that. It's going to be a fun show. Let me introduce everybody. Let's get on with the show. Kelly Corbin, thank you for coming on and with short notice, reposting our subject because I know you posted it, and all of a sudden, oh, crap, and you reposted it. Welcome. Kelly Corbin.
Boom!
Everybody.
Is she there or not? Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
She might. Oh, there you are. Welcome, Kelly Corbin.
I was talking away.
Yeah.
I was going to say that those aren't the exact words that were in my mind, but you were close, so thank you.
You're welcome. Did you get any kind of response? If people hit the links when you posted Killing Jesus?
I haven't. Noticed any? I haven't gotten any replies. If that's what you mean, I have few likes.
A few likes. Yes, Killing Jesus. Like it. It's kind of hard to like that one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little hard to like that one.
I want to bring in Carrie Brooks. We have Carrie Brooks and I talked before the show. We have some exciting news. Hopefully, we'll be able to get to it. But it involves her doing commercials for MVP On Demand. It involves the new product. And people say, hey, you know, Brian, you're such a good person, and you create such a great image that everybody loves. We have some products that you may be interested in. And I go, fine. So we looked and we looked and we looked, and we found some. And if we have enough time, we'll talk about them. They're going to be really great. Carrie's already doing a storyboard for a commercial, so pretty soon you'll start seeing commercials on the MVP On Demand. God, it feels good.
Yay.
Brian.
Yes.
Those lower case T shirts came in today, so we need to shoot a commercial for those.
You son of a bitch. Yes, we will, Jeffrey. I don't even know how I can explain. Jeff, go ahead and explain the T-shirts, please.
It has to do with South Park. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really funny. We got to get those shirts in. It's really funny. It's very offensive to everyone in the world, but it's funny. So we got to get them up to the store right away. Because you know, if we don't offend you, that doesn't mean we don't love you.
Letters.
I want to thank everybody. Saturday we went up special. When we go up Saturday, it's not so much for ratings or anything. It's so much for us. Just the guys and the ladies who work so hard behind the scenes, sometimes we need to blow some steam. We act silly and everything. And I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present Carrie Brooks, her new title of our game show called Oh Shit. Ladies and gentlemen, the new champion of Oh Shit, Carrie Brooks. Carrie, please say a few words of this honor.
Oh, shit.
Yes! She is the new crown winner. There she is. So, if you heard the broadcast Saturday, you think, oh, my God, what the hell happened? You know what happened. We were drinking and doing other stuff live on the air, playing Jeopardy, but our version of Oh Shit and Carrie came from behind and won the game. We do that once in a while. Congratulations, Miss Carrie Brooks.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're ahead.
I've already got two. I don't need another one.
I know where the other one goes to.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, that's right. That's the title of the show. Oh, Jesus.
Please come help me.
I know. Help me, Lord. Get me through this. He's at it again. He knows not what he does. All right, everybody. Like I said, you might as well get right to it. Some people are wondering if there is Jesus. Everybody knows there's Jesus Christ. Everybody knows Jesus was real. And as legends grow, stories grow, time passes, myth grows, things grow. Today we're going to try to get to the bottom of it. We're going to try to get to the bottom of it. Bill O'Reilly has a book called Killing Jesus. It's quickly becoming one of the bestsellers on the New York Times. I wondered about this book.
So that was a new book, huh?
That is a new book, and it's quickly becoming a bestseller. I'm going to give you a soundbite of his book. Here we go, Killing Jesus.
Bill O'Reilly has already made his books Killing Kennedy and Killing Lincoln into a best-selling franchise. But the Fox News host has decided to go even bigger for the next installment, Killing Jesus. The practicing Catholic announced the new book on his show, telling viewers that he and his co-author had uncovered new information about Jesus' crucifixion and Roman power. He added,
"So we're writing the manuscript now, even as we speak. Books will be out on September 24th of this year. Written in the same style as Killing Kennedy and Killing Lincoln."
Though O'Reilly shepherded his new series to popular acclaim, historians have been less enthusiastic, noting multiple errors and dubious assertions in the books. O'Reilly has said he writes, quote, "history that's fun to read," and has stood by the book's veracity. Given the historical tendency to manipulate the details of Jesus' death, we'll see how O'Reilly treats the facts this time around.
And, of course, Bill O'Reilly, if you have a TV, you have seen him interview. And that's what it is. Did Jesus, and as Kelly put it into the description, did Jesus really die for our sins or did he die for taxes? It's a number one bestseller by Bill O'Reilly, Killing Jesus. Some of you may think this subject is offensive, but let me tell you something. Any time that we could talk about Jesus or the Lord, how can it be offensive? I hate to tell you, and I wanted to pull up the stats, and I still might do this, about there's been a rush lately, within the last 5 years, of people who believed in God and believed in faith and believed in Jesus Christ. There's been a dramatic change within the last 10 years of people going atheists. Been a dramatic change. Oh, by the way, we would love your input. It helps the show, and it doesn't hurt. If you're listening to the show and you want to keep this inside and answering the questions and everything, that's cool, but share it with us. We want you to call in. We'll put you on the air. 646-595-3032. That's 646-595-3032. We really would love to have your comment and your input. I'm going to tell you something. Something recently happened to me. I was always the guy who wanted to believe in God. I wanted to believe in God. I'm not going to say there wasn't a God. I just wanted to believe. And I would ask people, I mean, constantly, because I wanted to believe. Do I believe everything in the Bible, word for word? Did it really happen? There is so much, and if you're really honest with each other, there is so much interpretation and so much camouflage that maybe a lot of it was exaggerated. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go around table. Kelly, in the Bible, doesn't mean you don't believe in the Bible, but when you read something, do you think the Bible has a lot of maybe exaggeration or legend into it to make it a real true story?
Sure, I do.
And I think this is what loses a lot of people. And when you go in different religions, and they'll take, and I can go with the Mormon, for instance, and we're going to touch on that. They can take scriptures, and they can take this, and then there's different sects of religions, and they'll take this, and the Old Testament, and the New Testament, and this Testament, and this Testament, and this prophet, and I'll take the word from this prophet, and I'll make a whole thing out of it. And it's like, oh, my God, we're confused. Carrie, how do you believe? Do you believe when you read the Bible and you're reading the stories, are they true to you?
Well, I don't actually read the Bible, so I'm not really sure what stories or whatever that you're talking about. I just know the ones you know that you hear forever and ever because, well, I just don't sit and read it. But, you know, I hate those Alzheimer's. I was going to say something, and boy, it sure did leave me in a hurry.
Well, you got to start believing. And your memory will come back.
I know, that's what somebody told me, you know. start believing and your memory will come back, and it's like, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. Oh.
No pun intended.
But it is true. Let's just be honest. There's a lot of things, if you look at the Bible, there's a lot of things that, you know, some Bibles, when you read the Bible, and I haven't read the Bible from the beginning to end, but what I've seen and what I've heard in the sections I read, God was not a very nice God. The Bible, I think, in my interpretation, God was angry. He was pissed off. And he was always testing the mortals, whether you can go with Solomon, with the sawing the baby in half, and you can go with other things, and wiping out a whole his people. If you read the Bible, I got that God was not happy. And I got God was not a forgiving God, if you read the Bible. That's how I interpret it. I interpret that people preach to fear God and not love God. That's how I always interpret it. You fear God because if you go against God, you're going to hell. So you must obey God. My word is my word. And if you don't do this, you will forever burn in hell or forever have torment. That's how I view the written word. Jeff, am I wrong?
Absolutely not. And I was an altered boy. You know, if you do not believe, you're going to smoke a turd in purgatory. For real?
Well, you know, I have smoked some good shit, so I don't know if that's a good analogy, but I understand what you're saying.
What are you smoking shit for? Didn't anybody tell you that's not good for you?
Hey, don't poop on my party.
No, it depends upon if it's Labrador or not.
That's true.
Laugh.
But and Jeff, I'm going to ask you the same question because you were an altered boy, but you were in a Catholic religion, and you're Catholic. But when you read the Bible, is it confusing? Do you see exaggeration? And how can you take the word of the Bible that is truth? This thing truly happened. Help me.
I wish I could, brother.
Yeah. And that's my point.
It's subject to personal interpretation. And like what you touched on. You know, they're just trying to put fear in you. If you do not believe, you know, that's bye-bye.
And I think go ahead, Jeff.
Seriously, since I was an altered boy, I haven't even been in the Catholic Church, I don't even know how long, because we had a Chester the Molester, and that was it, I was done.
And that's
the only reason why I went back and got confirmed. Was because my mother asked me to. I actually took a year and a half break.
I've heard stories like that, and I have heard stories from people who used to do the show with me when we did our Catholic stories and things like that, that they would tell bad experience what happened to them. They would tell their parents, so-and-so, touched me, or I got uncomfortable, whatever. And their parents will send them back.
Oh, you're just making, you know, the ignorance is bliss.
Right. But you know what? We're not thinking that their parents experienced it too. We're thinking, why are you sending me back? But we're not understanding that if they're Catholic, I'm sure they experienced it or heard something too, but it's just a thing to do. I know that sounds ignorant.
But what if they were just lucky enough and didn't go through that, so that's why they don't believe?
Could be. Or it could be the belief that God will take care of it and make sure that that abuser is well dealt with, depending on how strong your faith is. And that's my point. I'm going to pull it up during the break, and I'm going to tell you that in the last 5 years, a lot of people have forsaken their religion, have forsaken God, and they have went to the other side as an atheist. It's a disturbing trend, but it's real. I will pull
How
up that.
That
I'm sorry?
How is that disturbing?
Well,
oh,
yeah,
wait. I know who it's disturbing to. Sorry, my bad.
Well, I think what I'm saying is I think religion got a bad rap. Here's why I'm saying this. And that's going with your story, Jeff, and that's going with the stories I hear, and that's going with the stories with the Catholic priests, and we have done many stories on the Catholic priests, some of the wrongdoings that Catholic priests and the Catholic religion has covered it up and moved the priests here, so that way, and they keep doing it repentant, they keep doing it and doing it. And then I yelled, why are we allowing this to happen? And when and then when people say, well, you know, that's just part of the Catholic thing, and his judgment will be in the hands of the Lord when he gets there. But meanwhile, you know, a lot of these people are suffering here. And then people think, well, if there was a God, why would he allow that to happen? And I used to do the same thing. When you get a crash and all these people die, or you get an innocent baby who's just been born maybe 3 days, and all of a sudden that baby is in a – and I'm not making light of this because this really happened – that some mother puts him in a microwave and barbecues him, kills him. And why would God let that happen to that poor innocent child? And a lot of these people will ask these questions. If there was a God, why would he let this happen? And reading the Bible and the conflicting things and hearing the priests and all the bad things, and you're thinking, if there is a God, why would he let this happen? And common sense tells you a forgiving and loving God will not let his children suffer or die in vain. Am I correct or am I wrong? Kelly Corbin.
No, you're correct.
Carrie Brooks.
Well, no, I think you're correct.
Jeffrey Bertrand.
Correct to an extent. I mean, that's what I don't get on that part of the statement is what spirit or entity can control morons' actions?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And when the human beings experience the most painful loss of their life, of an innocent baby or a loved one, and maybe they're praying hard to the Lord, please help us, please save my child, family member, and the baby dies. They're angry. People won't admit it, and they curse the Lord, and they said, how we went to church every day. We did everything right. We prayed to you. We had the cross on our house. We did everything that you asked us to do. And why would you let us have this pain? Why would you take something I'd love away? We did everything you said. And you can understand the anger, and you can understand the confusion, and you can understand the Lord that I prayed to would never let this happen. And I can see why the shift is changing. And why you're thinking, well, if I prayed for you to save my loved one, why am I going to pray for you to do anything? You didn't. I don't understand. I think that's a valid question. Anybody?
Well, part of life is death. Life is fleeting. Death is forever.
Yes. Well, is it? Is death forever? That's a good question, Jeff. Is death forever? Or is death another travel and journey of life, depending on your faith? Because if you don't have enough faith, and I'm not a pastor. I'm just I'm the dumb guy on a radio. But I could only ask this question, is death forever? I used to believe that, Jeff. When I had my first loved one died, that was my first experience. And I wanted answers. I have a great friend, and I love him dearly. I wanted answers. I talked to Pastor Vision Jones. I talked to people who are in my building who are religious, and they go every Sunday, and they have their books. I even I chased after a Mormon to get some answers. I needed answers. I needed to get healed. None of them had it. They will refer to a scripture. They will refer to this. They refer to that. And none of them had it. I couldn't get any answers. Like I said, I wanted to believe in God. Did I believe in God? I wanted to believe in God. Just recently, I know there's a God. And I saw it with my own eyes. I believe. But I'm saying before I was going through that and I wanted to believe in the Lord. Yes, Kelly. There's a person who's listening and says, God lets bad things happen to us to humble us because we are all full of pride naturally. Okay. I accept that. But then tell that to the person. Tell that to the person. We will either be humbled and be thankful for what we got or we will be angry. Your choice. I understand that, and thank you, sir, for listening and coming. Please keep your comment coming. I understand that, but it still doesn't help the pain. It still doesn't help us to believe because we all want miracles when it comes times to when you're in so much pain. That's the first person we're going to go to find some kind of peace or faith to get us through it. So I could answer why bad things happen. If you believe in God, then you must believe in evil. So when you think that 9/11 and all those innocent people are jumping for their lives and they didn't do anything, they're just innocent people, why would God let all these innocent people die? And just me, if you believe in God, you believe in evil. That wasn't God. If you believe in God, you must believe in evil. Why put that on God? Why couldn't it be the evil? Why is everything happened that, whether it's, well, good, we know it's God, but when it's evil, and why is this, why is famine, why is this? Maybe it's not God. Maybe it's evil. And maybe, I'm sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
Dr. Evil.
Could be. I came to grips with that. Kelly Corbin, am I out of my mind?
Well.
No. Yeah.
Carrie Brooks, who was very cynical.
Can I rephrase that?
She said no. She
oh, okay. And that statement. Am I crazy in that particular statement? Oh, man.
Okay. Just
like
so we're clear.
Just so we're clear. Yeah, thank you, Miss Carrie Brooks. And Carrie Brooks, what's wrong with that statement? If you believe in God, then you must believe in evil. And if something evil happens, why pin that on the Lord? Maybe it is that evil entity. What do you think?
Well, you know, this is going to be very bad for me to say, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
I don't think about it one way or the other 95% of the time. So I don't know how to answer that because it's something that, truthfully, has never crossed my mind.
Well, let me let it cross your mind. Do you believe in God?
To a certain extent, yes.
To a certain extent.
Yeah.
What is that? When?
See,
what's the extent that you don't believe in?
Okay. God created the heavens and earth and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who created God? How did he get here to get started?
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the number one question. That's
okay.
The number one question, and that's a fair question.
And
that's a fair question.
I've never gotten any kind of a satisfactory answer to that question.
Maybe God created. Well, maybe God created God.
Stuff,
let me answer it. Well, let me answer. And I'll answer it in a really medieval kind of way, but I will answer. Remember, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a priest. I never studied religion or theology, but I can only answer it the way I know. Have you ever seen Star Trek or any of these stories? And you're going to start laughing, and I'll tell you why. Maybe God has a God. when they
who
say,
oversees him?
You know, wait, I'm sorry?
Who oversees God?
Well, let me just explain it to you this way. If you go back in mythology, there was God of war, God of love. The gods were in the gods ran the universe. If you go into Greek mythology, am I correct?
The God
but
of love.
In the Bible, God is the one that created them. So why would you go to Greek mythology?
Well, if you go into Greek mythology, there were gods. There was a God of love. You know who the God of love was, and the God of war, and the God of this, and the demigod. If you go with Thor, Thor was half human, half God. So the word that who created us may be our creator, but he may not be the ultimate God. Maybe God created him or her. I happen to think God may be a woman, because only a woman would think of another woman giving life to create the planet. Men cannot create life. A woman can create life. That's a special gift that he gave to one species. You are the one I pick to create life.
You've got
to
have the man in order to make it anyway, whether you do it
I understand.
One way or the other.
You got to have tomato sauce to make great pasta, but you still got great pasta. But men cannot have a baby. The only, if you really think about women, and you think about it this way, they are godlike. Every woman is godlike. If you want to use the term God, every woman is godlike, because God is the only one who can create life. If a woman can create life, wouldn't you say she's godlike?
Well, of course we are.
So, but we don't call a woman a god. I mean, we have used terms like goddess, princess, holy ho. That's a girl I met when I was in the 70s. But women, if you look at it, are godlike. They can create a human being. It goes into their bodies. They are nurtured for 9 months. And it comes out a human being. Men cannot do that.
Because they're big babies.
Well, think where it's going to come out. Okay, would you like it that way? Can you imagine Jeff's ass swelling up for 9 months? Oh, you're expecting. You get the visual. Hate to see that birth. Without further ado, Bill O'Reilly.
Time now to clear the air, and the battle over budgets is not only dominating the political discourse, it's also driving some individuals to complete distraction.
Will the federal government begin stealing our money?
Yes, this latest economic theory, not of taxation, but outright theft, was being discussed because the Cypriot government tried to introduce a new tax on bank savings. But although it was soundly rejected by the Cypriot Parliament, this didn't stop one particular television network from implying that it might someday be proposed here in the United States. This nonsensical notion was then followed by the asking of a question that appeared to come out of nowhere.
I'm researching killing Jesus. Do you know why Jesus was killed by the Romans?
That question has been considered by some of the finest theological minds in history. And it'll be expounded from pulpits around the nation as we approach Easter Sunday. But all of them have clearly missed the point, according to Mr. O'Reilly.
But you don't know, and you shouldn't know, because it was about taxes.
You don't know, and you shouldn't know, because it was about taxes. Now, as anyone with a modicum of biblical history will tell you, the death of Christ was an act of substitutionary atonement for the sins of the world. He neither lived nor died for taxes. In fact, he simply said that one should discharge one's responsibilities to the state by rendering unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But the purpose and meaning of his death is spelled out by the prophet Isaiah. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He died for the sins of the world, including the lies and the misappropriation of his life by those whose sole purpose is to make money at his expense.
And there you go. Now, before we go into it, it's silly about Bill O'Reilly and Jesus died, but he did make a point. What Bill was saying is that back then they were taxing everything. You want to fish, you have to tax it. You want this, you have to tax it. This was taxed. The Romans were taxing everything. And Jesus says, we would not stand for it. We're not going to pay any more taxes. This is ridiculous. And the Roman Empire said, well, this guy is a troublemaker. The people are listening to him. We got to get rid of him. And so that's what Bill O'Reilly meant, that Jesus died not for our sins. Is because of taxation. Jeff Bertrand, the altered boy, what do you think?
I think Bill O'Reilly's a moron.
Okay. Kerry Brooks.
Really? Seriously, can the guy be any more of a whore?
He has the number one book selling on killing Jesus.
Well, that's because of the brain-dead populace that listens to mainstream brain-dead media.
And thank you for that unbiased statement.
You're more than welcome.
Kerry Brooks, what do you think about that statement? Jesus died for taxation instead of our sins, our sensation. And I'm not going to say sensation because now it's a different meaning. Trying to be cute, but died for taxation instead of our sins. What do you think?
Well,
Jesus Christ was labeled a troublemaker in the Roman Empire. Jesus Christ was labeled a riffraff, an out-of-towner, outspoken. He was not censored.
Well, he's a bastard child, right?
Oh, my God. We just went 2.0. Is it too late to change my name? I'm going to pass this on to Kelly Corbin. Please ask Kerry Brooks. She just called Jesus a bastard. That was not the title, but okay.
I didn't
Kerry,
call him a bastard. I said he was a bastard child.
By calling him a bastard child makes him a bastard.
Oh, really?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, help me. Jesus Christ, help me, Lord. Lord, help me.
Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus Christ.
Let me bring in Kelly at this point. Kelly.
There's Kelly. No hope for Savior, my brother.
Yeah. Kelly goes, I'm not part of this. She says, I'm not part of this. Well, we can go into that because Jeff and Diane and I and Kelly, well, let's exclude Kelly. We started asking the question, what happened to Joseph? But anyway.
We never did.
You gotta be kidding me. Are you kidding me? No, you did not say that.
Just check and see if you're listening.
Oh, yeah, I'm listening, and a lot of other people too.
Well, let's see if that brings any mail.
Oh, yeah, it is to me, Carrie, not to you.
You
MF O'Brien. Thank you.
You're welcome. Got
it. Is Kerry back yet? Yeah, I mean,
this has been a PSA from
the other side.
God. Thank you, Jeff. The more to know.
The more you know.
Oh, Lordy.
Wow.
The more you know.
We are in trouble.
You know, you heathens will soon find out.
Yes.
God. So anyway, we're gonna take the quiz in a couple of minutes, right after a break. How well you know Jesus Christ? You know what my main question was with Jesus? My main question was, a lot of people say Jesus was a Jew. Anybody contradict that? Okay. But yet, he invented Christianity. And yet, the Jewish people, but yet the Jewish people don't recognize him in a godlike fashion. Is that true? I mean, nobody's here is Jewish, but that's what I get. Anybody disagree with me?
Right. Yeah, it's never made any sense to me either.
Right. I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus was black, we're the first one to claim him.
Didn't the Jews kill Jesus?
Yes, they did. Well, a person with the name Judas did kill. Well, he told the Roman Empire where to find Jesus, and we went to the... And if you believe Mel Gibson, you know the story. Who, by the way, doesn't like the Jews? So how ironic, he does a movie called Jesus Christ when he's the biggest anti-Semitic out there. But anyway, that's another story. And he makes a lot of money.
He used to make a lot of money.
Oh, believe me, he made a lot of money, and it's not all spent. The amount of money that this man made with that movie, Jesus of Nazareth, trust me, he cannot spend all that money. Anyway, so that's always that always confused me. If Jesus was a Jew and we're thinking Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, most of the Christians do, and a lot of people believe it, why would the Jewish community deny who he was? And that's my first question. Like, if he's Jewish, why wouldn't the Jewish people, with all the stuff that the Jewish people went through, why wouldn't they claim him as theirs? And that's funny. I love her to death. Sari was on our show. Sari is one of the most beautiful lady. If you heard her story, she was in Israel, and she does a lot of great work with her father, who is a great senator, a district senator of New Jersey, Robert Singer. And they do a lot of work with the Jewish organizations, bring awareness to terrorism, so on and so forth. I asked her that question. She kind of skated about it, didn't she, Kelly?
Yeah, she did.
Basically, she just said Jesus was a nice man. She knows how a lot of people think of it, but it was interesting. I really would love to hear the Jewish take on Jesus Christ, because I don't know if it's one of those things that the Jewish community is saying, you know, let's not disturb the pot here. They want to believe that Jesus is the Lord and Savior and a prophet. Okay. But he was one of us, and let him go on. And then and the ironic thing of it is that a lot of people don't like the Jews because of that. Because they killed Jesus. And yet, they're Christians who are following a Jewish person.
Mm-hmm.
My mind is exploding. You hate the Jews, but you're following a Jewish person. In the name of Jesus Christ, Excuse me. That's my code again. Jesus Christ was a Jewish person. But yet, and you call yourself a Christian because you're following Christ, he was Jewish. But yet, you turn around and say, I hate the Jews. It blows my mind up. I don't understand what's going on here. Anybody can explain
anarchy.
It to me? Huh?
It's anarchy.
It is. It's craziness. And the amazing thing about this, and the fact of it is, you guys should know this because we did a show on it. Who started the Catholic Church? Kelly Corbin.
I don't remember.
Because you don't listen to the show.
We came up with the answer, didn't we?
Yes, there was an answer. If you listened to the show, you would have found it. But thank you for not listening.
No, I remember the topic. I just don't remember the answer.
Jeffrey Bertrand, who was an altar boy, who started the Catholic Church?
I got to take a pass on that one, brother.
Okay. Look who I'm asking now. Come on, please. Well, let's try it anyway. Let's just try it anyway. I don't know. Is it going to be a cornucopia, whatever the answer is going to be, but let's go. Carrie Brooks, who started the Catholic Church?
Wasn't it Peter, Paul, and Mary?
There you go. You did not disappoint us at all.
Oh, the magic dragon.
Yeah, oh, there
That's
we go. And there, you heathens.
Brian, that's why I had to defer.
And we also be surprised at Kelly's answer. The answer is who started the Catholic Church? Jesus Christ was the one who started the Catholic Church. And when Jesus started the church, he was not the first pope. The first pope was Paul. And the first pope, even though Jesus Christ started the Catholic religion and the Catholic Church, the first pope denied Jesus three times. How ironic is the world? Jesus Christ started the Catholic Church, and the first pope denied him three times of the person who started the damn church.
Wasn't that Judas? Who was it that denied him three times? Wasn't that Judas?
No, the pope did. No, Judas was the one who told... Listen to me talking, Kelly. Judas was the one... Why did she do this to me, Kelly? I don't know what I did.
Judas must have done something bad.
You're gonna answer it, whatever.
I know. Judas. Like Archie Bunker. Archie, Jesus. Judas. God, now you got me doing it. Judas. J-U-D-A-S.
J-U-D-A-S.
D-A-S. Das. Judas. No, not Judas.
Judas Priest.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
I give up on you heathens. I cannot save your soul.
We know our rock and roll, though.
I know. Jeff is already... You're up there smoking, puffing the magic dragon. Jeff is going, rock on, Judas Priest.
I gotta be me.
Gotta be me.
Judas was the one who betrayed Christ by telling the Romans where he was and what he was doing and where they can get him.
Who denied him three times?
Pope Paul, the first pope of the Catholic Church that Jesus Christ started. Jesus Christ started the church, Christianity. It was born. Jesus Christ started it with the Catholic Church. The first pope was Pope Paul. Pope Paul was the one who denied Jesus three times.
Hence, he became onto the leader of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
And they tore it. I'm going to kill myself.
And they all
will be saved.
Magic dragon.
Yeah, well, I would be saved, but you heathens are going to be here on earth to suffer more. Making those jokes is enough to not get you through the gates.
What gates? Pearly gates?
Oh, letters could be sent to me on that one.
On that note, I want to introduce you to Bill Maher, who has his own take on religion and Jesus Christ.
What did he do, take a nap?
No, if you're a Christian who supports killing your enemies and torture, you have to come up with a new name for yourself. Now, last week, as I was explaining why I didn't feel at all guilty about Osama's targeted assassination, I made some jokes about Christian hypocrisy, and since then, strangers have been coming up to me and forcing me to have the same conversation. So let me explain two things. One, I'm not Matthew McConaughey. He surfs a longboard. And two, capping thine enemy is not exactly what Jesus would do. It's what Suge Knight would do. Now, for almost 2,000 years, Christians have been lawyering the Bible to try and figure out how love thy neighbor can mean hate thy neighbor, and how turn the other cheek can mean screw you, I'm buying space lasers. Martin Luther King gets to call himself a Christian because he actually practiced loving his enemies. And Gandhi was so fucking Christian he was Hindu. But if you rejoice in revenge, torture, and war, hey, that's why they call it the weekend. You cannot say you're a follower of the guy who explicitly said, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. The next line isn't, And if that doesn't work, send a titanium fanged dog to rip his nuts off. Jesus lays on that hippie stuff pretty thick. He has lines like, do not repay evil with evil, and do not take revenge on someone who wrongs you. Really, it's in that book you hold up when you scream at gay people. And not to put too fine a point on it, but nonviolence was kind of Jesus' trademark. Kind of his big thing. To not follow that part of it is like joining Greenpeace and hating whales. I mean, you know, there's interpreting, and then there's just ignoring. It's just ignoring if you're for torture, as are more evangelical Christians than any other religion. You're supposed to look at that figure of Christ on the cross and think, how could a man suffer like that and forgive? Not Romans are pussy, he still has his eyes. If you go to a baptism and hold the baby under until he starts talking, you're missing the message. Like, apparently, our president, who says he gets scripture on his BlackBerry first thing every morning, but who said on 60 Minutes that anyone who would question that Bin Laden deserved assassination should, quote, have their head examined. Hey, Fox News, you missed a big headline. Obama thinks Jesus is nuts. To which I say hallelujah, because my favorite new government program is surprising violent religious zealots in the middle of the night and shooting them in the face. Sorry, Head Start, you're number two now. But you see, I can say that because I'm a non-Christian, just like most Christians. And Christians, I know, I'm sorry. I know you hate this and you want to square this circle, but you can't. I'm not even judging you. I'm just saying logically, if you ignore every single thing Jesus commanded you to do, you're not a Christian. You're just auditing. You're not Christ's followers. You're just fans. And if you believe the earth was given to you to kick ass on while gloating, you're not really a Christian. You're a Texan. All right. Thank you very much.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Maher. Kelly Corbin, your comments. Okay, Kelly has us on mute sometime. Carrie, or sometimes she's talking, we don't hear her until her mic kicks in. Carrie, your remark on Bill Maher.
I've actually never heard that before. It's kind of funny in a lot of places.
And Mr. Jeffrey Bertrand, your remarks on Bill Maher.
I love it. I love my Bill Maher. I knew it was going to be good. That was
Corbin,
the first time I'd heard that rant also.
Yep. And what is your comment on Bill Maher?
That is hilarious.
He does bring up a point. If you are a Christian, do you actually follow what Jesus Christ teach? And if you're not, like Bill Maher says, you're just a fan. He brings up a good point. Who are the real Christians, and who are the people who are just want to be attached to Christians because they think they have a ticket to go to heaven just in case? That brings us up to our game. Everybody willing to play? It's a game is how much do you really know about Jesus Christ? Let's begin our game. Yes, welcome to the show. This is our Christian game called Who is Jesus? And what do we know about him? Playing our game today is Jeffrey Bertrand from Thousand Oaks. Gary Brooks from Arizona. Kelly Corbin from our heartland, Kansas. Are you guys ready? to play.
Yes.
I will ask you these questions, and you answer them as honestly as you can, not because you think it should be the good answer. It's because that's your honest answer. Are you ready to play?
Wait a minute. Define that again?
These are the contestants I have to deal with.
Amen.
I will ask you a question, and you tell me true or false. How's that?
If we think it's true or false.
If you think it's true or you think it's false. And please remember your answer. Here we go. First question is going to go to Kelly Corbin. Kelly, are you there?
Yes.
I got to get more enthusiastic contestants for my game show. No wonder we've been canceled and we do it on pirate radio. First question, Kelly Corbin. True or false? Jesus ignored talking about deep issues of what someone was struggling with, family problems. Was that true or was that a false? Jesus ignored talking about deep issues of what someone was struggling with family problems. Kelly Corbin, your answer, please.
False.
Does anyone disagree with Kelly? Apparently not.
Hey, we're sticking together.
Why is the there, Watson?
Okay, here's the answer. Jesus was a friend, not a superficial friend, but a friend. So he did listen to your problems. So you got that wrong, heathen. Number two, this is a friendly game.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
It
says
no,
that Jesus ignored talking about deep issues of what someone was struggling with, family problems. You said false. Oh, you got that right. Sorry.
Oh.
I'll throw some water on you. Everything's forgiven. To help
you. Might as well quit while you're ahead, brother.
Okay. Number two. Jesus was only hung. I'm sorry. I better rephrase that question. Hold on. Woo! Carrie Brooks. Number two. Jesus only hung out with good people. Carrie Brooks, true or false? Jesus only hung out with good people.
False.
Huh?
False.
Anybody disagree with Carrie Brooks? I guess not. The answer is Jesus thought that everyone was bad. That's in Mark 10:18. He was called a friend of sinners. So correct. You are absolutely correct, you heathen.
See?
Now, number three. Jesus kept to himself and avoided groups of people. Jeff Bertrand. Jesus kept to himself and avoided groups of people. True or false?
Lord, please. False.
False. Does anybody disagree with Jeffrey Bertrand? Here's the answer. The question is, Jesus only hung out with good people.
No, that was the one you asked me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Jeff, do you remember a question I asked you? Was it Jesus kept to himself and avoided groups of people? Was that the question?
Yeah, there you go.
That was mine.
Okay.
You would be correct,
Jesus kept, okay, Jesus kept to himself and avoided groups of people. Your answer to that question was false, right, Jeff?
Correct.
And that was the question, Carrie. Jesus kept to himself and avoided groups of people. Jeff said false. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree.
All right. Jesus would get up early in the morning and pray. We know this because the disciples interrupted him a number of times. So that answers your question. Jeff, you're correct. No, I'm sorry. It's a other one. Here's the answer to your question. Jesus hung out with people a lot, but not all the time. He with a perfect introvert and a perfect extrovert. So Jesus hung out with a lot of people. So he was friendly, popular. So you were correct, Jeff. He did hang out with a lot of people.
But of course.
And here we go. Number four, Kerry Brooks. Jesus spent his whole time on earth in the presence of other people. True or false? Jesus spent his whole time on earth in the presence of other people.
I'm not really sure what you mean by that. But
oh, wait a minute. That's the wrong one. Let's go to number five. I'm sorry. Forget that one. Here we go. Number six. Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, here's your question. Number six. Jesus avoided giving compliments and encouraging words to others due to the fact that no one was as good as Jesus. Jesus avoided giving compliments and encouraging words to others due to the fact that no one was as good as Jesus. Is that true or is that false?
False.
Anybody disagree with Miss Corbin?
No.
Okay. Obvious one. Jesus encouraged the faith in others by publicly acknowledging it. There also take courage or don't be afraid. Hang out with Jesus much, you'll get encouraged. You're absolutely right, Kelly Corbin. Number seven. Here we go. Kerry Brooks. Jesus wanted a lot of followers and religious based around him, so he often told others about how awesome he was.
False.
So this is like almost a Facebook thing. Jesus wanted a lot of followers and a religious base around him, so he often told others how awesome he was. Was that true or false?
False.
Anybody disagree? Jesus deserved a lot more respect than he got, and he asked for less respect than he deserved, humbly. He thought of others before him. You're absolutely correct, Miss Kerry Brooks. Here we go, Jeff Bertrand.
Jesus
avoided controversy and would only speak in towns where his opinion would be popular. True or false?
False.
Anybody disagree with Jeff? Here we go. Jesus got into some heated debates. There were times where he would leave an area because of how much people would disagree with him. But ultimately, Jesus did get into debate. Okay, so that's the answer, and I screwed it up. Basically, he did not avoid towns. Jesus did get into debates with people. A lot of people disagree with him, but he still kept up the debate. So he did not go away from that. Okay, here we go. Number nine. When facing a challenge by someone educated, Jesus simply responded to them with repent and believe in the gospel. I'm going to ask that to you, Kerry Brooks. When facing a challenge by someone educated, Jesus simply responded to them with repent and believe in the gospel. True or false?
Say that again.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that I understand
okay.
The question.
Here it is. Jesus had many wait a minute. I'm sorry. Jesus got into some heated... Whoa.
We did that.
Wait, that's interesting. How did it change on us? Oh, I know. I skipped up. We're going to do another one, okay? Jesus had many conversations with lawyers and skeptics. That was a normal day for him. That's your question. Jesus had many conversations with lawyers and skeptics. That was a normal day for him. Was that a normal day for him? True or false, Kerry Brooks?
Well, you put lawyers in there, and I don't know that they existed back then, but skeptics, I would say yes, so I guess that's true.
You're correct. There were lawyers back then. You are correct. All right, number 10. Jesus thought people with mental, physical, and emotional illness were gross and stayed away from them. Jeffrey Bertrand, that's your question. Jesus thought people with mental and physical and emotional illness were gross, and he stayed away from them. True or false?
Sorry, I was getting a phone call. Vinny's here. False.
Oh, that's false? Okay.
Yes.
Anybody disagree? Hello, Vinny. Welcome to the show. Anybody disagree with Jeff?
Yes, definitely.
You disagree, Mr. Vinny DeVingo, everybody. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's wrong with that coming on religion class?
Well, you came in on a show about killing Jesus.
He's Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly has a book out.
That's my point exactly, Vinny.
Well, Bill O'Reilly has a book out called Killing Jesus, and he's going into the crucifixion and history of Jesus Christ, and he believes that Jesus did not die for our sins, but he died because of taxes.
Well, they had taxes back then, and I'm sure Jesus didn't pay them with due respect. I mean, he was a poor man, he was a prophet. And, you know, I went to Catholic school, and, you know, he was, I interpreted, he was like the guy that you see like at Venice Beach or Washington Square, you know, with a bunch of followers talking. And people actually thought that, you know, that there was something wrong with the guy, or he could be onto something. And a million years after that, we come to find out, you know, the Catholic religion, and he had a lot of followers. I mean, that's the way I see it. I don't know all about that Bill O'Reilly, the O'Reilly thing, but the Catholic Church is canonizing two saints in the next week or two, Pope John Paul II and some other Pope John Paul something 25, and it's pretty cool to think that I didn't meet the guy personally, but I was in the presence of a saint, John Paul II.
Right. That is cool. That is freaking cool. Well, Vinny, since you're here, and by the way, Vinny, my cousin Vinny, has a show. It's a great show. It comes on at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 4 p.m. Pacific Time. It's a great show. You catch him on Blog Talk. My Cousin Vinny. Vinny, My Cousin Vinny. Tune in, please.
May I add a little to that?
Sure.
Today we're going to be talking to Frank Adonis. And Frank Adonis was in Raging Bull, and he was in Goodfellas, and he was in two iconic scenes that I guess will go down in history with Joe Pesci. Hey, you think I'm funny? I amuse you. He was in that scene, and he was also in Goodfellas, and he was also in the scene in Goodfellas with when they shoot Spider. Yeah, the whole family's fucking rats. Boom, 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 boom. And, you know, We get to talk to him, and we talk with Rob Machete, who is the director and creator of The Glass Circle, which would be shooting probably in a month or so in Vegas. And it's going to be like a two-hour show, hopefully. And, you know, I'm getting ready for that. But I said, I got to call Brian. I got to remind Brian. Tomorrow he's going to come on the show. I want to interview him.
I bless you, my friend. And hold on. I got to cough. 1 second. Excuse me. I still have my flu. I am honored to be honored. Vinny and I are going to do a show. We're going to switch shows. Vinny's going to be my guest tomorrow. Vinny has no idea the questions I'm going to ask him. And they're going to be really, and I thought all weekend, everybody knows Vinny will tell about his life. He's not afraid to talk about his life. He'll tell you what's going on. So I know about this gentleman, but he has no idea the questions I'm going to ask him tomorrow. It's going to blow your mind.
Brian, you keep in mind. You keep in mind. I go on your show first. So
yes.
You gotta pay the price.
Wow. Yeah, I better change some of these questions. And then
I'm just going to reverse them.
And people go, well, what is Brian going to talk about? And I'll give you something. I'm sure Vinny has his questions, but a lot of people don't know that I went through sex abuse and stuff. And just recently, Vinny knows this, and Vinny was so nice. I called Vinny and when I had a situation happen to me recently. And I realized, and I saw it from my own eyes, God does exist. And I will say it. I won't say it on my show, and I will say it on Vinny's show, how I found out that God really exists. How's that, Vinny?
Wow. Well, that's,
yeah, I'm
going to
say it for your show.
Well, good, because, I have to say, he does exist. I believe all my life. But, I was kind of like, I had to believe because I went to Catholic school. I was raised in a Catholic family. I had questions that were like taboo to ask. But now we could ask the questions and answer the questions without any, getting cracked in the head.
That's true.
It's 2013. People aren't afraid. They aren't, they're right up front. I believe in the Lord wholeheartedly because if we don't believe in the Lord or some power up there, I mean, we'll all be pagans.
True. And did you know that some people believe that Christmas is Halloween is a pagan holiday and Christmas and Day of the Dead, and a lot of people are celebrating that like it's a religious holiday? It's very interesting how the world turned, Vinny, because there is a stat about so many people in the last 5 years went from believing in the Lord to actually being, help me out with the word, atheists. It is
atheist.
So weird, Vinny. And
well, it's cheaper to be an atheist because if you're an atheist.
Oh, God.
And no, you don't believe in the holidays. You don't cook on Thanksgiving. You don't buy Christmas gifts. So you be an atheist, and it's another way of being cheap.
I never thought of that, but okay.
I mean,
a good point. But,
you don't get dressed up. You're not respectful. I don't believe in that. That's all horseshit. And you know what? When shit hits the fan, what does everybody do? Fall on their knees and start praying.
I agree.
Tell me.
I agree. It's going to be one hell of a show, and I'm going to talk to Vinny about things I've never talked about and some very serious things that I kept in my personal life that I thought was embarrassing, and I asked people to talk about it in a show, and I never shared it. And I'm going to talk to Vinny about how I did find God. I'm not born again, but how I did actually see God exist. And I'm only going to say that on Vinny's show. And I have proof that God does exist. And you will hear it on Vinny's show.
Well, all you got to do is go in your pocket, take a dollar bill out, and it says, "In God we trust."
That's true. And Vinny, to get you started, I don't want to get you started because I can rile Vinny up because Vinny's very passionate. I mean, I saw what you posted one time about maybe a month ago. It's like you want to take God's out of, you want to take God's name out of schools, you want to take God's name out of the Pledge of Allegiance, you want to take God's name out of here, but all of a sudden you take God's name out of there and then you I don't know how you did it. You did it so eloquently. Go, if you'd like to finish that, because
basically, I was saying, I remember, again, I went to a Catholic school, and I think correctly when I went to public school in the morning, there was a minute of silence. Now, you could have prayed to Allah, you could have prayed to Christ, you could have prayed to Jehovah, whoever, and we had that minute where kids knew. They turned to God. I went to Catholic school. We had a crucifix and everything. But today it is absolutely taboo. Now, when the shit hits the fan, what's the first thing they do? They run to God. Oh, God, oh. Well, how could God let this happen? Well, wait a minute. You just said there wasn't a God. How the frick did he make it happen? There ain't no God. Now, when something bad happens, you want to blame God. I get very crazy about that, you know. It's just bad. I mean, we got to, I mean, Sundays, I remember, I just said it yesterday. Yeah, yesterday was Sunday. I remember when Sunday was something special. You got dressed, you put a shirt on, usually the older people with a tie on, your mother's prepared a beautiful meal. That shit's all gone, man. All gone. I don't know who does that anymore. And if they say they do it, they're probably bullshitting, because I don't know anybody that does that. I mean, Sundays were a day of rest. You couldn't find a store open. Everything was closed. It's all gone now, man. People don't care about nothing. And like I was just saying, when something goes wrong, what's the first thing they do? Oh, God, please. Oh, God. What, God? You just said there wasn't a God. Make
That's
up
true.
Your friggin' mind.
And you're going to get it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I pray to God every night. I pray to him in the morning. And that's it. I just ask for the strength to do the right things and to make the right choice. I mean, I don't, you know, refer to my Bible or whatever, or Quran or whatever, every time I step out of the house. But, you know, I thank him for what I have, what little I have. I thank him for everything. And, I don't know, people say, well, how could you pray to that cross? No, I'm not praying to the cross. The cross, I have a crucifix hanging in my room now, and it was the crucifix that my mother had on her casket. You know, I kept it. So, you know, that reminds me, when I look at that crucifix, it reminds me that I will not be immortal, and I will be dead one day and have a crucifix probably on my, you know, it just keeps me in check. And
right.
Whether who you worship, who you pray to, you need that. You know, it's like a father figure. It's like, you know, it's something to keep you to realize that, you know, life will come to an end. And how you live life will reflect upon how people think of you. You know, people die, they'll go, oh, man, oh, yeah, you remember him, Brian? Yeah, that was a real asshole. You know, people are like that. And you know, it's kind of soothing and rewarding to me and keeps me on the right track when people say, oh, yeah, I remember your father. He was a great guy. He did this. He was always helpful. Oh, I remember your mother. She was great. That's nice to hear. And, you know, they lived their life, did the right thing, set an example, and 30 years later, people still remember how nice they were. Not
right.
Saying, he was an asshole. Good thing he's gone. Because people say that about people.
Yeah. I hear you. And these are the subjects that I'm going to go after Vinny. Vinny gets pissed off. I call him with these questions.
Oh, yeah, but that's good, because you'll be on at the end of the day. I could lay down, you know, relax, my blood pressure be nice, and I fall asleep. Now, if I did a show with you at 9 in the morning, I'd be crazy all day. I'd be kicking the dog and all that, you know. But I can't wait till tomorrow. You know, I'm going to let you go on with your show. I know you got a lot of things to talk about and all of that, but I got to rest up for the show, because I feel it's going to be a big, long show, and I want to stay fresh and I want to stay ready to go.
Thank you, sir. And don't forget, you guys, seriously, I looked at Blog Talk. When I came on Blog Talk, I checked out some of the shows because I have no training, radio training. I'm saying, oh, my God, let me take a look. And I looked at about 20 shows. Vinny's show makes me laugh. Vinny's show has heart. He has something that most people, they pretend to come out, hey, I'm a radio host. Hello, everybody. It's like a game show. When Vinny does his show, again, it's on at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 4 p.m. West Coast time. My cousin Vinny, Vinny Davingo. When you listen to Vinny's show, I've had so many people go, and when they come on my, when Vinny comes on my show, I've had a lot of people say, he sounds like my uncle. He sounds like Jersey, and I miss Jersey. He sounds like somebody I know, and they love Vinny. And so if you listen to his show today, he has some great guests. These guys are big hitters, classic films. Check him out, Vinny Davingo, my cousin Vinny. You won't regret it. It's going to be fun. Thank you so much, my friend.
All right, thank you, pal, and, you know, do what you do best, entertain the troops. And
thank you.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll give my hug to lovely Lee, and thank you, my friend Vinny. Ladies and gentlemen, Vinny
All
Davingo
right.
with my cousin Vinny.
Yo.
Great.
All right. Later, Brian. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Great guy, great show. I mean, give yourself a treat. You got to listen to his show. It's first show that's really honest, and none of that bullshit of Hollywood going on, the censorship. Vinny Davingo, my cousin Vinny. And we're heading out our last question.
Here?
I'm going to be a guest. Vinny's coming on our show tomorrow. And we're going to find out the real Vinny. We're going to go into the stuff that Vinny has no idea. And I know Vinny's not listening now because Vinny rests up. He'll turn off the show and go, I don't want to listen to Brian. But I'm going to ask him about his life. Vinny has a very interesting life. And I got some questions about him. And I got some questions that I know that Vinny is really, that he doesn't want to talk about. And he gets pissed off. Jeff knows this. You know this, Kelly. Carrie, you're in for a treat because when Vinny gets pissed off, holy shit. So we're going to get to know the guy. And Vinny is very colorful. So some of the guys that you read in books and magazines and history books, Vinny knows. And what I mean by that, when you heard of the Gambino family and Frank Sinatra and you hear about all these things, Vinny has some inside stories. He knows some people personally.
Story on the ice stand the other day, and you were saying how vile this guy is and how gruesome the stories are and blah, blah, blah. And then he comes on, yeah, he's a nice guy. I used to have coffee with
We had a drink. We're at the bar. You leave him alone. So, Vinny has the inside scoop on a lot of things that you hear about, and he doesn't talk about it much. But he'll talk about what's going on in his community, and once in a while he'll touch on some of these hot topics with wise guys and this and that. And he's an actor, and he's also was on Z100. So the guy's a celebrity. He is a celebrity. And he has done radio with Z100, and he has done many roles in many films, and he's a modest, humble guy. But we're going to get all that. We're going to talk about death. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to talk about. He may be listening. If he's not listening, I know lovely Lee is listening, and I don't want Vinny to be prepared for tomorrow. And he gave me a warning. Don't forget you're coming on my show.
You showed your cards.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything. But all I can say is, I gave you a little taste. You don't know how dirty I can get, and you know how dirty I can get. Let's finish the subject up, and let's go for Hollywood. Here we go. We're almost done. We only got three questions. How well do you know Jesus? So far, you guys know Jesus pretty well. I am surprised, you heathens.
Why, thank you.
Here we go. This question is to Carrie, coming to the last two questions. Jesus avoided loving others where alcohol was nearby because he needed to appear holier to others. Jesus avoided loving others where alcohol was nearby because he needed to appear holy. Carrie Brooks, true or false?
False.
Anybody disagree?
He brought the wine to the party.
You heathen, Kelly! But actually, you're right. Jesus turned water into... Jesus turned water into grapefruit juice.
Grapefruit juice or grape wine?
Grapefruit juice. And then it has a question.
What?
Am I right? Wait a second. So, no, basically, they're having fun.
Wine.
Jesus turned water into wine, so he would not be avoiding anybody who was drinking. That's the question. Congratulations, Kelly. You're wondering, where am I getting this? And I don't tell you where. I'm getting this. Huh?
That was Carrie that answered that.
Right. But whoever's listening, you're going, where are you getting this? I don't tell you where I'm getting it because I don't want people to Google ahead of me and do the questions. I'm getting it from, it's a site called Who is Jesus? True or False Quiz. No Bull from Noble. It's an authentic look at this person's perspective of life in Jesus. Okay, so letting you know I'm getting it from somewhere. I'm not making it up. All right, last question. Who wants it?
I'll take it.
Yep, Doug.
Okay,
oh,
here we go, Carrie Brooks. Jesus never cooked a meal for others. He would ask second-class citizens to make food for him. Jesus never cooked a meal for others. He would ask second-class citizens to make food for him. True or false, Carrie Brooks?
Well, I would have to say that's false because he never asked for anything.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. This may be the first one you guys missed. Anybody disagree with Carrie?
Nope.
Okay. Here's the answer. Jesus served a meal for 5,000. That's a lot of dishes. So you are right, Carrie Brooks. Thank you for playing, everyone. Let me see. Let me get back onto my thing here. Here we go. Thank you. Thank you for playing. Heathens are not a heathen. I want to ask a question. Everybody here? Here's a serious question. Jeff, are you still here, my friend?
Absolutely.
Okay. There's going to be a question for you, Jeff, and we're going to do a round table. Serious question. Everybody heard the term Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Everybody?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Who was the Holy Ghost? Jeff Bertrand. Who was the father?
Joseph.
Jeffrey. Jeffrey! You heathen! Jeffrey!
I had to, brother.
I know you did. Where are you, Joseph? Who was the father? Jeffrey. Jeffrey? Is this thing on, Carrie?
Oh, I'm sorry, brother. I almost pulled the Diane.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't there like one God or something in three?
Wait, it's very interesting, Kelly. I'm going to give you the right answer, but very interesting. Jeffrey, who was the father?
God.
Right. Carrie Brooks, who was the son?
God.
Oh. Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
So you're telling me I'm wrong?
I am.
Oh, well, I guess
interesting,
I'm wrong.
But Carrie, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're
don't
wrong.
Either.
Hold on to that. I don't think you're wrong. Kelly Corbin.
Easy for you to say.
I know, it is. Kelly and Carrie, the K's are getting me that. Kelly, who was the Holy Ghost?
Well, like I said, my interpretation is God in three people or in three entities, three persons. But it's, I'm trying to remember what all it stands for. I know it's like the Father generates, the Son lives on maybe, and the Holy Spirit goes forward.
Who was the
Can't
Holy
remember.
Ghost?
It's close to that, something like that.
Who was the Holy Ghost?
Well, it would be God, but...
Really? Is that your answer?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, like I say, there's two different ways to interpret it.
You're wrong. Carrie Brooks, who was the Son?
God.
You're wrong. Jeffrey, who was the Father?
God.
You're right. Kelly Corbin, who was the Son?
Well, in that respect, it would be Jesus, but I'm...
You're right.
I'm going to look that up.
You're right. Carrie Brooks, who was the Holy Ghost?
God.
No, but you're almost right. You get a half point. I'm going to ask another question. Did the Holy Ghost have the same powers as God? Jeff Bertrand.
No.
Carrie Brooks.
Yes.
Kelly Corbin.
What was the question?
Did the Holy Ghost have the same powers of God?
Well, it's supposed to be equal. I'll say yes.
Very good. Carrie and Kelly are correct. Yes. Jeff, you're wrong. The Holy Ghost and Carrie, and I'm very good, Kelly, because that is true. They all had the same power. They all had the same power. And I'll tell you who the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost... Oh, Kelly's talking to me. Oh, okay. The Holy Ghost, and I see our listener, he says the Jewish religious leaders and the Roman Empire both have blood on their hands. And 95% of the Jews do not believe Jesus is their Savior, but the Masonic. Jews do, but the Masonic Jews do. Okay. Peter denied Christ three times. Yes, he did. And thank you. And that's from, and I want to give him credit because that's good information. That was Cedric Shabazz, everybody. Thank you so much, Cedric, for listening and also participating. Thank you very much. The Holy Ghost. The host is the third member of God's head. He is personage of spirit, without body, of flesh and bones. He is often referred to as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, or the Comforter. The Holy Ghost has the same powers of God. So when you say to Father, the Son, to the Holy Ghost, you're talking to three different persons. The Father is God. The Son is Jesus Christ. And only by the power of the Holy Ghost, his communications to our spirit carries away. And remember, only by the power of the Holy Ghost, his communication to our spirit carries far more certainty than any other communication we can receive through our natural senses. So the Holy Ghost is the one that when you pray to God, the Holy Ghost is the one to deliver the message to the Lord. Do they have the same powers? Yes. But he is your communication to the Lord. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Is that interesting, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, I mean, I find that very interesting. Jeff, what do you think? Isn't that interesting?
A thrill a minute.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought it was interesting. How about you, Carrie?
I think it's interesting.
Thank you. We'll be back after these messages. Mr. Board Producer, would you care to find it? It's about the fourth one down, sir. And send us away. And when we come back, Carrie's going to come up, and she's going to talk about Hollywood. Wait a minute. Everybody's leaving me. Wait a minute. Everybody just left me. Carrie? There she goes. Wow. I never seen that happen. Ladies and gentlemen, we just had a function. I think I'm still live. Everybody just left. This has never happened before. I'm by myself. I'm in a studio. I have nobody to go to. And now I get a message from Carrie. It cut me off. Try to call in. Call back in, Carrie. Everybody's gone. Jeff is gone. Carrie's gone. Kelly's gone. I don't even know if I'm still on the air. If I am still on the air, I could practice my tap dancing for you folks. Oh, that won't work. Let's do a staring contest. No, that won't work. I think it's time to take a break. And when we come back, hopefully they'll come back. If they don't come back, somebody's in deep doo-doo. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do we have Mr. Jeffrey? Nope. We had this happen one time. I remember we had this happen. Jeff and I were doing a show, and we had like, 2 hours to do. All of a sudden, the studio started cutting off on us, and I was left alone. Jeff kept trying to come in. Jeff kept coming, trying to come in. Oh, wait a minute. We have Kelly. Let's see if we have her. Kelly. Oh, she just left. Oh, shit. This is happening all over again. This is my nightmare. They're trying to come in, but will they save me? I don't know. Stay tuned. Come back. And, of course, my commercial doesn't work. Okay, I'll do a commercial, a fake commercial. The board is shut down. Am I still live, anybody? Hello, is this thing working? Just in case I'm still on, I'm going to do a commercial. Hey, everyone. Did you ever have that embarrassing time where you go into your neighbor's house and they ask you to take off your shoes and your feet stink? Well, no more. Thanks to this new product on the market called Stinky Feet No More, your feet won't stink. So now you can go to your neighbor's house, take off your shoes, and the dog will not die, and people can eat food knowing that your feet do not stink. That's right, everybody. Limited supply for 15 days. Spray this on your bottom of your feet. Go to your neighbor's house. Wiggle your toes, and your feet will not stink. This has been a product of the Brian the Hammer Jackson Show, and thank you very much. We're going to try to go to another commercial if it works. If it doesn't, I have more products. Come on. Hello, everyone. This is Brian Hammer Jackson. As you can see, we're having studio problems, and we're going to go to a commercial. And that's right. And our first commercial is a good one, I promise you. And we'll be right back.
Come on. Let's get busy.
Come on. Let's get busy. Get impressed. Get engaged. Get connected
with Media Pro Productions.com.
You bring the script, we turn on the lights, we produce the action.
Lights, camera, action, with red carpet satisfaction.
Media Pro Productions.com.
That's Media Pro Productions.com. Please go there. I'm going to tell you something. That person who ran that commercial, her name is Miranda. She does a lot of demos for actors, commercials. She's on one of those plans that work with the government, so she won't cheat you. That's right, everybody. I'm improvising because I don't have a script in front of me because the damn studio shut down in my face. MediaProProduction.com. I love it. And this is one of those things where Kelly is telling me, What the F are you talking about? I don't know. I'm improvising. Get into the studio. Sorry. Dead air. Don't worry. I got a lot of talent. I could tell jokes. Hey, I got a joke. Nah, that won't work. We're going to continue with the show. Unfortunately, this live radio. When you hear my head explode, that means I'm out of material. So listen for the explosion. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about Hollywood, and we're going to talk about the top box office hits. I can see Carrie trying to get in. Oh, what do you know? Jeff finally made it. Hello, my brother. Jeff.
Hey, brother. I've been...
Jeff? Hello? Hello? Come in, Jeff. Houston, we got a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jeffrey Bertrand. Oh, Kelly's in. Thank God. Hi, Kelly. Kelly? Kelly? And there goes Kelly. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Cedric. Making fun of Jesus, maybe. All of a sudden, we're having problems in the studio. I'm sorry, Jesus. I wasn't supposed to be making fun of you. That's a kind of a coincidence. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a treat coming up. And as soon as I find a treat, we are. But let me tell you about what's happening. Oh, Kelly's in. Thank God. Welcome to the show, Kelly. Are you there?
Yeah, that was pretty good what Cedric said.
You left me alone and all my material's gone. Kelly? 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 Ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Corbin. She just got bumped. All right, I'm a professional. I can do this. I can do this, right, Charlie?
For some winning. Ding!
Thank you, Charlie. What we're going to do is we're going to go to a little break, and when we come back, we're going to go through the box office. You know what I mean? We're going to do the box office thing, right, guys?
What's the most inspiring thing I ever said to you?
Don't be an idiot. Changed my life.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Smart words, and I will remember that during the rest of the show. We'll be right back after this sponsor.
Evolution Magazine, www.evomag.co.
What the hell? No, no, it's Evolution Magazine. Chewbacca, what are you doing? No. No, no. Bad Chewbacca. Bad Chewbacca. We'll be right back. Chewbacca, back. I'm trying my best. Chewbacca, calm down. I'm doing my best. Well, we're back. Wasn't that fun? I'm glad. Please go to our sponsors and support them. All right, everybody. I'm trying to take a break so I can do... what we do best, which is read you what's happening in Hollywood. And nobody could come into the studio because we're screwed up. Oh, we got somebody. Jeff. Oh, here's another person. Kelly. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you
party, man.
Yeah,
I can
like
dig it.
Brother, there's far too many.
Show together. Yes. What's that, Harvey? Oh, okay. I'll tell you what's on the top 10. Thank you, Harvey. Okay. Just over, sit over there, Harvey, and I'll let you. Thank you. Close your legs, Harvey. Those cotton balls are kind of disturbing. And everybody, let's do our top 10 box office week. Yes, Hollywood. I'm not prepared for this, but we're going to pretend I am. And it's Hollywood. I have nobody with me. What's that, Harvey? Which one? We'll go up? Oh, okay. Here you go. All right, here we go. Let's bring it in, people, orchestra. Da 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 Hollywood. That little wacky place we call Hollywood. Da 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 da. Natalie Wood, but Hollywood. All right, everybody. Yes. This is dedicated to my friend Harvey. Please, Harvey. You wabbit. Crazy wabbit. All right, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is Hollywood. Yes, and I am your Hollywood reporter, Brian the Hammer Jackson, outside in Hollywood. Yes, I am. Right? I'm outside in Hollywood. Thank you. And we'll have our special guest trying to get into the studio. Let's see what we have here. Miss Kelly Corbin, everybody. Kelly Corbin, welcome to Hollywood. How are you? Kelly Corbin. Yes. Thank you, Kelly Corbin. Thank you. I see you have to leave. And what's on our, everybody, the question of Hollywood is, because I am Hollywood, what is the number one box office movie this weekend? Well, I'm not going to give you number one yet. I'm making it a thriller. Yeah. Okay. Wait a minute. There's breathing. There might be people.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. It's a wonderful life. Hello, Jeffrey Bertrand. Uh-oh. Jeff? Okay. Well, the top 10. Here we go. Number 10 at the box office, Lee Daniels, The Butler. It made $2.4 million. And I will be back. Kelly, give me an update on a comment. The Butler made $2.4 million, $1.9 million international office. I don't think that's the total because it made a lot more than a total, but Carrie's not here to do the box office, so bear with me. Number 9, Turbo. I have not a clue what the hell that is. It made $6.1 million. Number 8, Two Guns. I do know what that movie's about. That's with great movie. That came in number 8.
Hello,
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Hi. Hello. Once in a while we'll get guests in the show, but they have to leave because they're very busy guests. So if we get a hello, that means they are going out of their way to come in and say hello. Here we go. And number, you would not believe my studio just froze. I got nothing now. Oh, here we go. And number 7, The Conjuring, made $7 million, came in at number 7. You may remember The Conjuring. Now it's about evil spirits and true life story about these this family who lived in this house, and they stayed in this house for years, and I have no idea why they stayed, because it was haunted, and weird things were happening, but they decided to stay because maybe they liked the rent was cheap and nobody lived near them. That came in at number 7, The Conjuring. Number 6, We Are the Millers. Yes! That made $7.1 million over the weekend. You know the Millers. It has Jennifer Aniston, and it has people. Yes. Funny people. The guy on Saturday Night Live, funny thing. Funny things that are happening. It's about a family who gets involved in traveling to Mexico and bringing some marijuana to people who need marijuana. They came in at number 6, $7.1 million. Number 5, Planes, came in at $7.9 million. Planes, I have not a clue what Planes is about. But I made $7.9 million.
You missed the production meeting.
Exactly. Hello! Ladies and hello? Hello? Mrs. Doubtfire? Harvey? Harvey, what's happening? Hello? Okay. We should go on. Yeah. Number 6. We did it. Number 5. Well, we did that. Planes. $7.9 million. I have no idea what Planes are about. But if I had to take a guess, it's about planes. And
those
they made
7.9.
Hello! And there he goes. And number 4, Elysium. It came in at $8 million. I never seen the movie Elysium. I'm thinking that this one has Ben Affleck's girlfriend in it. What's his name? Ben Affleck and, help me out, Ben Affleck and, I think it's Harry Potter. Not quite sure. But that's number 4. How come it has 2 4s here? I guess it must be a tie. Another number 4 is called Instructions Not Included. I don't know what that's about, but it made $8 million. But if I had to guess, it's about men who are not aware what happens to them when they get married, and there is no instructions on how to survive when you're married. And I'm thinking that's what the movie is. Instructions Not Included, number 4. Number 3, Smurfs 2. I didn't see Smurfs 1. But it came in, Smurf 2 came in at $8.8 million. I don't know much about Smurf, but I think they're blue people. There's Papa Smurf, Spice Smurf, Sleazy Smurf, Kelly. Help me out here, Kelly! Oh! Kelly! Brad, you came in this studio. How? Kelly? Shit. 90 seconds. But there's the Smurfs. Number 3. Scary Smurf. Spicy Smurf. Sleepy, Dopey, Doc. Happy Smurf. Watch them. Blue people. Like the Vegas thing. Number 2. Runner, $11.2 million. Runner, I have not a clue what Runner is, but a lot of people like it. Number 1, Young Detective D, Rise of the Sea Dragon. No, it's not a porn, it's an actual movie that pulled in $7 million, The Rise of the Sea Dragon. And that is your Hollywood Report from Brian the Hammer Jackson. Yay! Cue the orchestra, please. Harvey, cue the... Yes! That is our Hollywood Report. Cue the orchestra. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. From Hollywood, California. And don't forget to listen to our show. Vinny Dovingo will be live with us Tuesday. Be a great show. I am also doing his show later on that afternoon. It's going to be a great show. There's a lot of things that I'm going to talk about that you never knew about me and why I am who I am now. You'll be surprised.
Brian.
For me. Yes,
Brian.
Mr. Doubtfire.
I made it to archives.
You missed the show, but you made the archives. Jeff? Well, that was an interesting interview. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are in archives. Usually in archives, this is where we talk about things and we let our hair down and you get to hear the real us. The only thing that you can hear is me. You cannot hear the voices in my head, but they're funny as hell. I'm sorry I can't share that to you. I just want to say this. There was a viewer or listener said we're doing a subject about Jesus, and she said her name was Mary Bella Maltemeyer. She says, yes, he really died for our sins. We're talking about Jesus Christ, not me dying on air, but we're talking about Jesus Christ dying for our sins. We can have eternal life and eternal tax exemption, okay? They say the only two sure things are death and taxes, and I agree with you. And I say life and tax breaks. Thank you. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our show, so don't forget to tune in tomorrow, Tuesday. Very interesting show, hard-hitting show. I guarantee it will be like an interview no other with a real live wise guy. And we're going to have a lot of fun. Don't forget, there's a lot of things coming up that you're going to love this weekend. This week, we're opening up a members only on MVP On Demand. You're going to love it. You're going to love the benefits of being a member with us. Brian the Hammer Jackson Show is going to do something terrific. Again, we talked about me leaving the BTR Airways. That's Blog Talk Radio. And I'm going on to MVP On Demand. If you're a member, starting next week, we said this before, we teased it. Now we got it perfected. If you're a member, you're going to be able to see us, or me, actually, do the show live, just like you would see a Howard Stern or a Rush Limbaugh. There'll be a webcam on me, and you're going to be able to see it live. And if I had the camera on me today, you would laugh your ass. You would laugh your ass off because my head exploded. If you are live and a member, you get to see the splatter and the expression on my face when my head was about to explode. When something goes wrong. So, live radio, everybody. This is Reality Radio. This is Brian the Hammer Jackson saying goodbye, and I will see you tomorrow. And I will play us out. Because I love L.A.
The excitement as the Lakers tie it up and slams her home. Basketball immortality for the Los Angeles Lakers.
L.A. will fly by you like a G4. Everyone in yellow jerseys with a 2-4. Ain't that right? Best places to shop like Rodale Drive. And clubbing, it's more than a hobby, it's a passion. Hollywood, where the lights constantly flashing. Chilling with your peers at the Santa Monica Pier. Love my city, so I live to die right here. 15 NBA titles, Magic, Kobe, bound to be your idol. 3/4 of the year, you ride with the top down in your car. Cruise Hollywood Boulevard, see
everything. way of life. The Late Show is the world's favorite team, and the definition of what a champ really means. Cruise the coast, wave hot of Malibu, then hit the tango ball, welcome to the Valley Boom. Hollywood stars, plus the fast cars, dreams come true in L.A., play the right cards. Ladies have black and Asian, Latin and Caucasian, this city is amazing. You have Playboy, I'm trying to chill and kick it with Lauren.
And that's it, baby. I love L.A. Brian Hammer Jackson. I'll see you tomorrow. Great show. Thank you.